It's good to be back in God's house this morning here at Porchlight Baptist Church. So good to be here. I enjoyed the good singing there. And as always, we're going to get right into the message this morning. And we've already been having church here for the last little while. So it's time for preaching. And this morning we're taking our text out of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55, be taking our text from. Isaiah 55, and I want to look at verses 6 through 11. We're going to emphasize verses 8 and 9, but for context's sake, I want us to read 6 through 11 of Isaiah chapter 55 as we preach on this message I've titled, I'm Glad That I'm Not God. Here in Isaiah chapter 55, starting with verse 6, the Bible says, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Lord, we need you now to help us preach. Just preach for us. Preach through us. And Lord, may you be the one seen in this message today. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the book of Isaiah is, of course, a prophetic book. He's considered one of the major prophets of the Bible. Not that any prophet is not a major prophet, but we refer to some of the books as major or minor. That's the way we kind of keep up with it. And so got that thought in our mind. Isaiah was a wonderful prophet there, prophesying to the land of Judah. And he was prophesying before they got put into a Babylonian captivity. And so his messages were prophesying about that time that would come if they didn't repent of their ways and turn to God and away from their wickedness. And so following that, of course, then you have the next prophets after him, like Jeremiah and such. So here in Isaiah chapter 55, we see some things about God that if we did not have God's word, didn't have the Bible available to us, we wouldn't understand this. We wouldn't know it. The very fact that God does not think the way we do, and his ways are nothing like our ways, ought to give us a little bit of insight on why the world is in the shape it's in. Because none of us are holy like God. None of us are righteous like God. We become righteous when we get saved, but that's righteousness through Christ. His righteousness clothes us. And so that's the only way we're righteous. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. So God is holy. He's righteous. His thoughts are different. His ways are different. And so that's kind of what we're looking at this morning, on the differences in our thoughts and his thoughts, our ways and his ways, and why the things are going on in the world like they're going on today. If you've turned on the news for the last 2 weeks, you've seen this world is in utter chaos. Not just here in the U.S., but this is carried on over to other countries now. All the mess that's going on here in our land, starting back on Memorial Day, of course, when the event took place. The man that lost his life under police after he was arrested and lost his life, and it was the catalyst that started all this. Well, let me back up a little bit. That really wasn't the catalyst. The catalyst has been going on for a long time. That was just one of the others, one that pushed it over the top. Well, what began as a so-called protest, which, by the way, the fake news is still calling them protesters, even though they're looting and rioting. They're not protesters. All over this man who was a criminal, he was arrested. And he did lose his life because of improper police procedures. The man choked him to death, and that man is now in jail and charged for, I believe, second-degree murder now, and he'll probably lose his life. And that is, it's befitting the crime. The punishment fits the crime. And what happened was wrong. However, what happened does not give people the right to take the world into their own hands and do so howsoever they please. What we're seeing out of all this is a crime spree that's taking place in our country by people that are allowing their natural animal instincts to come out, their inclinations. This is the flesh of people. This is people without God. This is people that does not have the righteousness of Christ. You could not have Christ's righteousness applied to your heart and behave the way these people are behaving. They're pure animals, the way they're behaving out here in our society. And so all this has brought out their true nature. I pretty much want to stop watching the news and looking at it because it's ridiculous. I don't believe that half the things that are happening are actually being reported on correctly. That's why we refer to it as fake news. And social media has become a just a cesspool of people spouting off their carnalness, their sinfulness. And you see that this really brings things out in people. You see, start seeing their true nature when something like this occurs. They feel like they have the go-ahead to just let everything come out that they've always thought. And so we're seeing some people's true nature. People that claim to be Christians reacting in such a way that is very non-Christian, agreeing with the madness that's going on today. And this is just, it's just not right. So what are we seeing going on in our society? Well, we're seeing looting, stores being burnt down, national landmarks being destroyed and defaced with graffiti. I saw where the Lincoln Memorial was defaced and part of the head of Lincoln was broken off. We're seeing these businesses, these owners. And listen, it's going across the scale. They're white owners and black owners that are having their stores completely destroyed. Their livelihood's gone because of these criminals that are running around in our country under the guise of a protest. All right, let's call it for what it is. It's sin and it's criminal activity. And so we're seeing all this, seeing police officers now attacked, killed in the streets on the line of duty. Now, I know when they take that job, they realize that their life is on the line every single day, but that does not give people the right to come and take the lives of a police officer just because they don't agree with something or just because something happened that caused their animal instincts to come out in them. And so we're seeing these criminals take place. It's feeding their lust, their desires, their violence. It is in their nature because their nature and our nature, even if you're a Christian, your nature is not the same as the nature of God. And the Bible is clear on that. Well, due to the sensitivity of all this is happening in this politically correct world we live in today, it's a politically incorrect, if you ask me, laws have been scaled back. Punishment for crimes have been scaled back and overlooked. And people look the other way now when all this criminal activity is taking place. We see mayors, these Democratic mayors in these big cities that are run by these Democrats and their left-wing socialist thoughts. You see what they're doing. They're allowing these looters and rioters to just destroy property. And then what's going to happen? When all their city is destroyed, then they're going to come running to the government and ask for assistance to rebuild their city. I say we let them worry about it themselves. I don't want my taxpayer money to go to rebuild these cities where these mayors have lost their minds. So we're seeing all this take place. And listen, it stresses me to see the shape that our country's in. And this didn't just start in this current administration we're under. This started way before this. In fact, the previous administration doubly made it hard and difficult for police officers to do their jobs. You know, I'm not going to sit here and talk about all that right now, and I'm not preaching bipartisan politics by any reasons. I'm preaching against sin, and we're showing the difference in the righteousness of God and our unrighteousness. And so, you know, listen, I look out on all this that's taking place, and I think to myself, if I was God, I would take these looters and these rioters and I would just completely destroy them into oblivion. I see somebody taking the life of a police officer. I see someone burning down and vandalizing a store. Then I'd just say, poof, you're out of here. That's me. That's my carnal nature. Remember what I called this message? I'm glad I'm not God. Well, let me tell you something. I'm glad you're not God. Because if you were God, there wouldn't any of us have a chance. And if I was God, nobody would have a chance. I'd be the only one left because I'd go around. Everything I didn't like, I would destroy. And so I'm glad I'm not God. Now imagine, if you will, every time that someone committed a sin, that God thought the way we did. What if he behaved the way we did? Someone committed a sin. It don't matter what it is. Maybe lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping. All those are sins. Let's just say some sweet grandma went over and started gossiping with a neighbor. What's going to happen? What if God was like us? Poof, you're gone. You know, destroyed, dead. Well, the Bible says that sin brings forth death, and every sin deserves death. But because God is merciful and long-suffering and has grace on us and loves us, he does not destroy us when we sin. And so therefore we start seeing and understanding the difference in the nature of God, the mind of God. Remember, he said that his thoughts were higher than ours and our ways were not like his ways. And so we start seeing the differences take place. Look at verse 8. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, what are some of God's thoughts? Well, if you want to know what God thinks, what do? Read God's word. Read God's word. Don't go read somebody's best-selling novel or latest self-help book. Don't go and find a Joel Osteen book. He don't know anything about God. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. So what's that tell us? Listen, God's counsel, and the Bible says it stands forever, and his thoughts, the thoughts of his heart, go out to all generations. All generations means past ones, present ones, and future generations. God is thinking of people. You do realize that God's greatest creation is mankind. That's his ultimate creation. Even though God created everything in this world, every single thing, out of all that, the greatest one was man. And so he thinks of us. Psalm 40:5 says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. The psalmist understands that God's thoughts are on us, and that there are so many. He thinks of us so much, we couldn't even number the thoughts he has toward us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. And look at this, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now we know Jeremiah was prophesying to a very evil and wicked generation of people in Judah. They were headed to Babylon, to Babylonian captivity, because of their idol worship. Because of their turning their backs on God, for allowing idols to be placed in his temple. People that were down on their knees and worshiping Tammuz and different gods of that day. And so that's the people. And even in their wicked, sinful condition, God is saying here, I know my thoughts. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And so God thinks peace on us, and his thoughts toward us are not evil thoughts. In each one of these verses, I notice that the Lord's thoughts are on one particular thing, and it's us. And wow, I mean, that just blows you away to think that God would think about you. It does me. It's just mind-boggling to think that God would actually consider me. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm just a sinful creature. Why would in the world would he ever think anything about me? But the Bible says he does. And we can't even number the thoughts he has of us. The Bible said in John 3:16, the most famous verse in all the Bible, for God so loved the world. The world. The world is us. The world is all these people. Even the looters the rioters, the murderers, the rapists, all these criminals out there, they are the world. And the Bible says that God loves the world. In fact, he loves the world so much, he was willing to give his only begotten son to save the world. Listen, even those people we can't stand, God loves. Over in Zephaniah 3:17, the Bible says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." The very God of heaven looks over us, thinks about us, and sings over us. You ever sung a song over someone? I'm sure when you were growing up and you met that boyfriend or girlfriend, you made up a little song. I did. That's what I do. I'd write a little song about Mary, the one that I fell in love with, and I would sing songs about her. Well, the Lord loves us. The Bible has made that very clear. For God so loved the world. So what's he doing? He's making up songs about us and singing over us. It's hard to imagine, especially all this that's going on in our current day. And listen, it's bad. But believe it or not, it's not as bad as it was when he destroyed this earth with water. And that is just unreal to think of, as bad as it is. Now, let me ask you, who are you thinking about all the time? It's obvious God thinks about us all the time. Normally, we think about ourselves. We think about me, myself, and I. What's in it for me? How can I get something better? You know, how can I overcome? How can I do this and do that? And so our thoughts are typically on ourselves. Now, there are occasions we think of others. Maybe their birthday comes up and we think, you know, happy birthday. And you may, you know, at certain times you may think of others. There's people that we're close to that we love, our spouses and our children and our parents and grandparents. And we think about them and we love them. But typically our thoughts are on us. Who's the first person you took care of when you woke up this morning? Who's the first person you thought of? You. I've got to go in there and get ready for church. I've got to go in there and get breakfast. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And so our thoughts are on ourselves, but not God's. God's thoughts are not like ours. He's not thinking of himself. He's thinking of you. Over in Psalm 94:11, the Bible says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." They're vanity. That word vanity means vain, empty, useless, unwise, foolish. So pretty much that sums up our thoughts and our ways, is foolishness, vanity. Men think they're so smart, but the Bible says the complete opposite. We're not so smart. In fact, we're not smart at all. Over in Mark 7:20-23, the Bible says, "And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts and adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." And there again, because man's thoughts are vain, vanity, prideful. And so what does it cause? It causes our animal instincts and nature to come out, especially during times like today. Well, after it talks about man's evil thoughts, it lists off 12 other sins that cause men to commit sin because of their thoughts. It's because of the way we think that we sin. If you couldn't think, you wouldn't sin. This is as clear as it could be. And so, you know, you would think after all these years that man would evolve. You know, they said that man evolved out of, what was it, start with a tadpole or something silly, you know, and finally turned into what we are. We come from monkeys and apes and everything else they say. That's not true. We were created in the likeness and image of God. God created male and female, put us on this earth, and we did not evolve out of something. But you would think man's thoughts and ways would eventually evolve over 6,000 years. They've not. They've only gotten worse. You know, the original man, Adam and Eve, were originally created with a perfect mind. I mean, they had clear thoughts. There was nothing there to jumble them up. There was no sin in the world, so there was nothing there to hinder their way of thinking or to get in the way. They had a clear mind. But as soon as that first sin entered this world, and when sin entered in, all these other problems started. And we just went downhill from there. We've never went uphill. We've went downhill. You say, well, so-and-so invented this and invented that, and look where we're at and all the things we can do. Yeah, okay, well, there's some people that are able to create things and do things, and there's some smart people according to their IQs and things like that. But as far as their human heart, it's depraved, and it's just getting worse and worse. We have digressed, and we have fell way short of God's intended purpose for man, way short. Proverbs 16:5 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see that? We seem to think something is right, but you know what? We're wrong, because what we seem to think is right causes death. Look at what's going on today. There's some people marching around, going through streets, burning down buildings because it seems right to them to do it. Well, sure, it seems right to them. They're animals. Animals don't think like we do. And so it seems right to them, but it leads to death. God has infinite knowledge. We don't have that. We have what we've experienced, and we have what we're in right now. But as far as we can't see past the end of our nose, I can't tell you what's going to happen in the next 30 minutes. I have no idea. Will I quit breathing? Could be. I don't know. I'm not given the knowledge to know whether I'm going to have another breath in the next minute. None of us do. And so we don't have the infinite knowledge that God does, but God sees everything from the beginning of time all the way into infinity and beyond. That's why Proverbs 3:5 warns us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, we ought to take that little verse and pack it away in the back of our mind and put it down in the recess of our heart and remember it every day. That if we would only be concerned about the things of the Lord, if we trust in Him for everything, then we'd be taken care of. And not to lean into our understanding, because our understanding is corrupt. Our understanding is seemeth right, but it's not. Understanding is thoughts of vanity. And so he goes on to say this in our opening text back in Isaiah 55 verse 8. He says, trust in the Lord with all, he says, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Neither are your ways my ways. Well, his ways, and the word ways there, it means manners, customs, habits, your course, all those words combined comes up with your ways. When we see somebody and we say, oh, that's just the way he is, or that's just the way she is, we're basing that off of their characteristics, off of their past actions. And so what makes up a person is the way they act. And so their ways. And the Lord says, listen, your ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So our ways are nothing like God's ways. His habits and his customs, his course, his manners are different than ours. So what are God's ways? Well, here again, they're not the same as ours, and that's clear. First of all, I find that God's ways are found in his commandments. You know, over in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in, what? His ways, and to fear him. So if we're going to walk in God's ways, how are we going to do that? If our ways are not his, then we need to walk in the ways of him. How do we know how to do that? Well, the Bible gives us several things in his word. First of all, we could look at the Ten Commandments. Go to Exodus chapter 20 and start counting off those Ten Commandments. We've got, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the very first one. If we could get that clear, that would solve most of all the others. Because what's another god? Anything that comes before God is another god. So your television, your video games, your computer, even your family, everything that you place before God becomes a god. And so he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know, we worship food today. We worship entertainment and entertainers. We worship all these things today. You say, well, I don't do that. I don't bow down to... No, but that's where you spend all your time. If we worship God the way we did everything else, we would spend all of our time communing with him. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet. Those are 10 things right there that if we could just get our minds focused on that and take care of that, everything would be okay. Well, all these are God's ways. These are things that he doesn't do, but we do. And so he says, you don't do these things. If you want to walk the way I do, don't do these things. And so, you know, God gives us throughout his word, such as loving our neighbors or self. Was that the second greatest commandment? Loving our neighbors or self. And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is the manner of such is. As you see that day approaching, I mean, that's assembling together with God's people. That's considered a church body where you come together to learn God's word. What we're doing today here at Porch Light, we're assembling together to learn God's word. There's many other things that's in the Bible that are commandments of God other than just the 10. You know, everybody thinks about the 10, but there's more than that. Anything that God says not to do or to do is a commandment. And so all these are God's ways. But sadly, they're far, far, far from our ways. Our ways are so far from God's ways. Just take one look at the news today. Just do it. Go to Fox.com. Go to CNN if you can stomach it. Go to any news channel, even our local channels, WVLT, WBR, WAT. Go to these channels and see what's going on out there today. And it would literally make you sick. And you'll see that we're doing exactly the opposite of what God has said for us to do. And we'll find that God's ways are nothing like ours. The world's full of murder, abuse, fornication, adultery, hatred, theft, rioting, looting, all these things. And those are not God's ways. Let me show you a difference in God's ways and our ways. God's ways are holy. He's perfect. And he says sin leads to death. What do we say? We say that sin leads to satisfaction. If I can do this, and I know it's not right, but if I do this, it's going to make me happy. I'll be satisfied. No, you won't. Once that sin's committed, and sin always brings misery with it. It's never satisfying the way you thought it would be. But God says, don't sin. We say, oh, no, sin's going to make me happy. God's way is reconciliation, bringing things together, making it right again. What's our ways? Run. Run. Avoid God. You know, if you do something and you know you've done wrong, you've sinned, instead of running to God and reconciling with God and making things right again, we want to run. We want to hide. We somehow think that we can get out of God's presence and everything will be okay. God's ways are to reach out to the poor wanderer. What are our ways? Our ways are to look at God, you know, like some kind of a hard taskmaster, but not the Lord. Lord reaches out to help, but we don't. We're not helpful people. You say, well, I help somebody do this and do that. Yeah, well, sometimes we have a few times that we do some things that's okay, but very rare. God's ways were to send his only begotten son to die for the sin of the world because he loved the world. But what's our ways? Our ways are to sell his only begotten son for 30 pieces of silver. And to yell, crucify him, hang him on a cross, and put him to death. That's our ways. You know, you might say, well, I wasn't there, Brother Byron. I would never have done that to the Lord Jesus. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. You are that depraved. I am that depraved. We would have stood there with the rest of the crowd. The Bible says, and they all said, crucify him. That's just the cold, hard truth. That's how depraved we are and how far away our thoughts are from God's thoughts, and our ways are different than his ways. God's way is to have mercy. But what do? No mercy. You do something to me and you are dead. Yeah, that's the general thoughts of people today. You do something against me, something I don't like. If you support the person that I don't support, I hate you. That's the message of today. You know? You can't even say out in public today who you support for president without expecting some kind of retribution for it. Somebody's going to get all upset. And listen, that's just ridiculous. And we have no mercy these days. God's merciful. Look back in our text there in Isaiah 55 verse 9. It says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." So what would happen if we were God? I told you I titled the message, "I'm glad I'm not God." What would happen if I was God, and what would happen if you were God? Considering he said that our ways are not his ways and our thoughts are not his and all that, what would happen? Well, I can give you a few examples out of the Bible. What would happen? First of all, in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, we see what man does when they're left up to their own. Genesis 11, start with verse 1. The Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." Well, there we find what man does when left on their own accord. They start doing things, what the Bible says there, see, he says that nothing will be restrained from them, which they've imagined to do. So man's ways, man's thoughts are things that are unimaginable. They're things that God would never even consider being right. And so what does man do? He wants to build this tower to show that he is superior to God. That's the whole thought behind the Tower of Babel, by the way, was to say, "Look at us. Look what we did. We don't need God. We have our own gods, and we'll build this tower." Well, God said, "Yeah, well, we'll see about that." And notice there they called the place Babel. You know what? We've been a bunch of babblers ever since. Babbling about this and babbling about that because we ain't got no sense. So what happens? Man starts thinking he's smarter than God. He tries to do without God. Look at it over in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56. "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village." Well, based on that passage of scripture right there, I think it's pretty clear what we would do if we were God. We would destroy them. "God, would you like me to just call down fire from heaven right now and consume them, burn them up?" That's what I would do. And, you know, I'm not joking. That's exactly what I do. And that's exactly what you would do. If somebody did something against you, something you didn't like, something you thought was wrong, evil, sinful, you'd say, "You're out of here. Aren't you glad we're not God?" And so, listen, you may say, "Well, I'd never do that." You saying you're better than James and John, the men that walked shoulder to shoulder with Christ for those years and was brought up under his teaching and preaching and everything about his love. And you mean to tell me you're better than them? John, the apostle that Jesus loved, the one that he gave his mother to as he was dying on the cross to take care of. You think you're better than John? No, you're not. You'd do the same thing. We have no understanding of God's ways. The world would not last very long if we were God. We'd be standing alone. Today, men and women think that the things that they desire to do, their carnal, fleshly desires, their sinful desires, it seems right to them to do them. Sodomy, wickedness, child pornography. And you mark my word, one of these days, the abuse of children will be lawful. They're allowing these people to take their sin, their inclination for sin, whatever it is, and call it, that's just how they were born, and so therefore it's not wrong, and they'll pass laws that you can't do anything to these people like that. You mark my word. I predicted before they passed the same-sex marriage laws that that would happen, and it happened. And a lot of people thought, well, there's no way. No way this country would ever allow that to go on. Yeah, we'll see what happened. They probably thought the same thing back in 1972 when Roe versus Wade. Well, there's no way in this world they would allow people to kill babies inside of a mother. Well, that's ridiculous. That'll never pass. Yes, it did. It's just going to get worse. You know what's going to happen next? Write it down. Say, Brother Byron said this was going to happen. They're going to start killing old people. It's going to get to a point where people reach a certain age, they're too much of a burden on the medical system. They're too much of a burden on the financial system. Too much of a burden on people to take care of. So what are we going to do? We're going to start euthanizing elderly people. I guarantee you it's going to happen. And it'll be a law. Well, something will happen. You'll go to the doctor and they'll say, well, you know, you're at that age. And really the only thing left for you is euthanization. You know, if you need to get everything together, make sure everything's, you're ready to go, and we'll set up a date to euthanize you. It'll happen. And so that's what would happen if we were God and men start doing whatever they want. God calls all these things uncleanliness. He calls it sinful. He calls people with such thoughts like that reprobates. That is as far low down as you can get. He calls these sins abominations. You know, so what would happen if these were people were God? Again, the world would die. If it's meant for two men to be together and two women to be together, there's no way to have children. Within 100 years, the whole world would be dead. That's what would happen if men were God. Well, we've heard all the bad stuff. So what can we do about it? What possibly could we do? Well, first of all, we need to understand and realize the fact that we are not God. Our ways will never be His ways. Our thoughts will never be like His thoughts. Not until we reach heaven. If you're saved, one of these days, we'll be in heaven, and all this will be a thing of the past. I'm thankful for that. But we must humble ourselves. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That is our number one problem today, is lack of humility. If we would humble ourselves, realize what a rotten, dirty, nasty, low-down sinner we are, and plead to God to have mercy on us, then we would start seeing a difference. Lastly, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So not only are we to humble ourselves, but we're to pray, we're to seek God's face, and we're to turn from our wicked ways. What does that all sum up? repentance. Repent. Repent or perish. Repent and turn to God. That's what needs to be done. So, aren't you glad today? I'm not God. You're not God. And there's one God. It's the God, Lord God Jehovah, the very God of heaven, the creator, the sustainer of life, the giver of life, the one that loves us, the Holy One. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we serve one God, the true God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the message. God, I pray that we will slowly conform to some resemblance of your ways and thoughts. God, it seems so impossible. The way that this world is, this wickedness of our culture, God, the way it seems that everything is just being turned on its top. But God, we know you're still in control, that your thoughts are higher than ours, your ways are not the same as our ways. And God, we're so thankful for that. Thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy, your long suffering. God, without it, we would not be here today. Lord, we're praying for that one today that is lost. They're lost in their sin. God, I pray especially for those that believe they're Christians, but God, they're not. They've never truly understood who Christ is, have never truly received him as Savior. They're only Christian in name, God, but not in their heart, not in their spirit. God, I pray for them. I pray, Lord, that you open their eyes to see the truth and the light. God, we pray that this message brings you glory. Help us, Father. These things we ask in the name of Jesus. And amen. Well, it seems like it's a grave time to be living. But like I said at the beginning, things were much worse back when God destroyed this earth. And it's hard to imagine, hard to believe. But one of these days, it'll all be over with. We won't have to worry about it anymore. It's just like that old song, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over. I can't wait. Well, till tonight, we're going to have Sunday school at 6 o'clock, and we're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 37. We're going to start studying about the life of Joseph. Yay! Everybody clap. That's everybody's favorite Bible hero, Joseph and Daniel. Or seems like most people's heroes in the Bible. They are mine. And so I'm excited about it. And tonight we'll be looking at that famous coat of his. And we'll be looking at his dreams. Joseph's dreams and coat tonight. So you come out tonight at 6 o'clock and tune in to our live stream. And until then, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We'll see you tonight.